For me personally, it's been a blessing to be here. The hospitality is always good when I come here. I bless Paul and Martha for hosting Barbara and I. Certainly has been a blessing being at their house. Each evening when I come home from Shepherd's Institute, I just sit down at the table and just decompress for a while. And we eat a little bit, and then we go to bed, and the bed sleeps well. But tonight, I guess, will be the last night we sleep there. So it's been a real blessing here. I've really enjoyed my time here. And my wife actually had a chance to go with Sylvia Nisley to visit our daughters in Iowa. And they have snow up there. So we're glad that she and Sylvia made their way back today. Okay. Well, I didn't do as well as I could have last night. So the first thing I would like to do is make a few clarifications. First of all, you did not have enough time to take the quiz and to think through everything and to have all the questions clarified as well as they could have been. Secondly, number two on the second set of questions was a poor question. I acknowledge that, and so I'm telling you that if you still have your quiz, discard it. Throw it out. No good. It's number seven on your quiz. Well, I was talking to one brother about this, and so if we threw that one out, then he would have gotten 100%. And I'm wondering how many other people have gotten 100%. And I take the responsibility for y'all getting one wrong. So we'll just leave that. And so you're probably wondering which question that was. So I'll just share that. I think that picture kind of explains itself. This is the first set of questions I gave you, and there were no questions there. No problems. I would love to spend time talking about these, but you know, we're on a time schedule, so. Number two on this set of questions is what should be thrown out. Poor question. I acknowledge it. Should have caught it before, but I didn't. Okay, while we're up here, number three, I understood I did not make clear as far as where what I understood the correct answer is. Is role-playing equal to acting? And the answer, in my understanding, is no. I believe that role-playing is an appropriate kind of activity. All right, so I really want to clarify that. And question number four up here, is reading drama the same as watching drama? And again, the answer that I understand is no. Reading drama is appropriate from my perspective. But my perspective is limited. And so really doesn't matter what I say. It does matter what God says. And so I would beg you to consider this. I think we all agree with this. At least I hope we do. When I have an Anabaptist history class, I think Aaron was in my class years ago, and I think he had to memorize this. That's just the first one. There's four statements of the essence of the Anabaptist vision. Well, the very first one is the Holy Scriptures are the ultimate authority. Okay, now, there's three more, but I'm not going to go there. But if that's the case, then institutional religion isn't necessarily the ultimate authority. Nor is established theology or philosophy the ultimate authority. Nor is contemporary thought the ultimate authority. Nor is traditional thought the ultimate authority. Nor is private understanding the ultimate authority. And that's why I say this is my perspective. I'm not the ultimate authority. Nor is majority opinion or postmodernism the ultimate authority. If we would take a vote on an issue tonight and all of us would agree But it disagrees with God. Sorry, we're all wrong. God is still right. Nor is paganism or heathenism the ultimate authority. I don't think we have much question on that one. And so, I'm sharing my heart with you, but I'm not God, but I'm not alone in my perspective either. And I trust your maturity to consider these matters from a perspective which may be outside your box. It's good for us to exercise our minds outside of our own little boxes sometimes. But I do need to answer to God for what I'm telling you. Sometime, the Lord and I are going to sit down and watch the video of my life and February 28, 2019 is going to come on the screen and God's going to hold me responsible for what I told you last night and tonight. I have to give account. So it has really nothing to do with what I think. What he says is the ultimate authority, and I want to be able to look him in the eye, and he looks at me in the eye, and he winks, and I wink, and we're okay. That's what I'm looking forward to. Drama is loved by humans. It's consistently, universally present. It was in the world doing well with the Greeks. And the Romans just took it over and built other buildings to continue drama. But as I attempted to convey to you earlier this week, it is despised by God. Okay, consider the great impersonator. Who said, "I will be like the Most High"? Who was the liar from the beginning? Satan is transformed into an angel of light, a pretender. False prophets come to you in sheep's clothing. With feigned words, these false prophets make merchandise of people. When Eve saw that the tree was good for food and was pleasant to the eyes and to be desired to make one wise, she took. But she was deceived. And so, the consequences of the human answer that wholesale movie watching is okay, I would understand that there is a willingness then to compromise the genuine. Number two, that represents a willingness to accept the lesser, the inferior, and eventual defeat. And I bless Dwight for calling us to the better things tonight. Thank you, Dwight. Number three, if we're going to take the human way, we're willing to concede that the world has a better answer than Christ. Now, we would never say that out loud. Number four, if we're going to concede that wholesale movie watching is okay, then we are expressing a willingness to try to proceed with just emotion, just intellect, and just will. And I can't make it with that. I need more than that. Number five, if we're going to say that, we're going to admit that willingness to work a human program with human ingenuity and human resources are going to be enough to make it. And I don't believe that. It's going to take more than human resources. Let me illustrate. Do you know, you and I could go to a movie theater, or we could go to a live drama presentation, and we could end up so moved that we just cry. make our hankies wet with the emotion and the pathos of what we see. And walk out and say, wow, that was good. And be no different than we were before. Number six, the consequences of the human answer, there's a willingness to surrender to the short term versus longevity and endurance. And so we've been with the preachers all week. And so we're, as leaders, we're always in, responsible to lead people in terms of the long term as well as short term. And sometimes, just sometimes, it takes gray hair to see long term. So what does God think? And what does the flesh desire? And by the way, I have just as much red blood in my body as you do. And we all have the same. We all have a flesh we deal with. And so let's think about this. We were talking in Dave's class today about how long sermons should be. But if you have 52 sermons a year, that's one for every Sunday, and each one's 45 minutes, and on my survey, or the questionnaire that I presented, I found out that some people watch more than 50 movies per year. More than that. And we'll just say here in this case that a movie is 60 minutes. Some of them are longer than that. And I guess some of them are shorter. I don't know. I don't watch movies, so I don't know. But I want you to think about what follows here. It just blesses my heart. Some of you could hardly stand what we saw last night. It was so awful. And bless Dave, he gave us a shower two nights this week. On Tuesday night, and last night we got a shower again. The poor brother, he could hardly stand it last night. He was so disturbed. Bless your heart, Dave. There must be some godliness in there that was bothered by what you saw. Okay, now think about the three clips we saw last night. Gift-wrapped garbage. Beautiful ugliness, exciting selfishness, a wonderful evil experience. Sometimes there's awe-inspiring horror. We didn't see that last night. I don't know what you say about fascinating ugliness last night, but we saw some lust of the flesh last night, and blah, blah, blah. There's sometimes, and you watch movies, there's a tingle of rebellion. I don't know if you felt that last night or not. Tuesday night, we saw some of the sleekness of blackness. I know that Tuesday night, we saw some mysterious weirdness. And Tuesday night, we saw some funny, cute witches and wizards. And last night, for sure, we heard some self-absorbed chatter. And I don't know what to say about glorious wickedness. I don't know what to say about it. I just know that happens sometimes. Now, does that look forward-looking and wonderful, awe-inspiring, godly, that which lifts the spirit? I don't think so. We just need to come to terms with this. This isn't my quote. Worldliness is any attitude of heart and mind whereby a person's primary concern is his own position and pleasure. And I'm sorry, folks, but movies are usually about me. I'm going to go relax, put my feet up, and watch a movie. Okay. Some people would say, well, you got to do something for recreation. Well, I agree. We've got to have some recreation sometimes. But personally, I feel that movie watching is a very poor form of recreation. Hardly anyone can answer the easy Bible questions on Jeopardy anymore. Well, almost everybody can tell you about Obi-Wan Kenobi, Darth Vader, Yoda, and the Force, this man says. I take his word for it. I think Darth Vader and the Force have to do with Star Wars. I think so. Okay, now the second quote has to do with... a book. And I'll just stop right here before we go with the quote. I have, and you're allowed to come look at this, I have a book here entitled The Gospel According to Disney, Faith, Trust, and Pixie Dust. I have The Gospel According to Tolkien, Visions of the Kingdom in Middle Earth. I have The Gospel According to Harry Potter. This is a leader's guide to group study. There's a whole book on that. This is just skinny because it's a leader's guide. Here's The Gospel According to Dr. Seuss. And here's the book, The Gospel According to Star Wars. Wizards, Hobbits, and Harry Potter. Inside, Harry Potter, The Lord of the Rings, and Chronicles of Narnia. Now pause. Something that's on everybody's mind that nobody has talked to me about yet so far is what about C.S. Lewis and the Chronicles of Narnia? Okay, I'm going to give my opinion here. I'm going to stick my head out. You're allowed to chop it off. I have understood that C.S. Lewis, when he wrote, his intent was to promote and teach godliness. Don't ask me why he used witches to do that. I think the gospel has been enhanced in the world through the Chronicles of Narnia, even if there is wizards and witches. And if you don't agree with me, you're allowed to. I'm talking to you from my perspective, and remember, I'm not God. Walt Disney, from Mickey to the Magic Kingdom. The Magical History of Unicorns. One night I showed you two pictures from this book. Now let's look at this a little bit more. George Lucas, I think, is the one who produced Star Wars. George Lucas himself is profoundly aware of the teaching opportunities through the medium of film. He claims to have been presented with a very large megaphone in making his films. And he consciously uses this to provide a kind of instruction in moral matters. Somebody has to tell young people what we think is a good person. It would be interesting to unpack that for a while. I think I know of a better way to tell a young person what makes a good person. I think you do too. The word boredom entered the English language since 1750. Perhaps the entrance of the word is the first sign or symptom of a disease that would spread like a plague over the next 300 years. One observer wrote, "Not one theme among others, it is the dominant theme, a modern plague." Okay, so if you have boredom, you have to do something, right? It used to be whenever Paul was young, and even whenever I was young, we worked almost all the time. But now, with all the technology we have, some of us only need to work about 7 or 8 hours a day. What are we going to do with the rest of the time? And so we have a condition called boredom that we have to do something with. Another observer wrote, "A strange cloud hangs over modern life. At first it was not noticed. Now it is thicker than ever. It embarrasses claims that the quality of life is getting better. It reduces commitment to work. It is thickest in cities where there are the most varieties, pleasures, and opportunities. Like smog, it spreads to all sorts of places where it's not supposed to be. The most common name for this cloud is boredom. Both came from a book entitled Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment. If you want an interesting read, get that book. Still Bored in a Culture of Entertainment. Emotional pornography is pleasure obtained by watching other people in intimate, emotional, and physical situations. We are drawn in to imitate experiences without any responsibility or real relationship with the characters. People who love reality TV may live more intensely through the TV screen than they do in real life, face-to-face relationships. Perhaps reality TV is so popular because it is feeding a deep hunger for two things that are lacking in people's lives: intimacy and authenticity. And once again, that is worth stopping and thinking about for a while. Let me say this. Movies is a quick and easy way to do both of those, to get intimacy and authenticity. But whenever I am watching a movie and there is some kind of sexual scene going on and I am enjoying other people's intimacy, am I innocent? I don't think so. You say, well, that's all vicarious. That's out there with somebody else. But I think Romans 1 has something to say about that, where we can somehow enjoy other people's sins. That's not okay. The cinema or the movie may function both as a mirror and as a window, but primarily as a lens. Movies do not merely portray a world, they propagate a worldview. Cinema helps us see what we might not otherwise have seen, but it also shapes what and how we see. Worldview is taught. Again, there is no such thing as neutral entertainment. There's always a teaching behind the entertainment. I had this overhead on before. I said last night we're doing good drama. You could argue with that. I'm not going to say anything back to it. But I would like now, for the remainder of my time, to talk about number 3, religious drama, which is used to teach the lives and values of biblical and church history figures. The purpose of religious drama is educational. Well, when I was a little boy, we would go to church Sunday evenings and we would watch movies. Religious movies, of course. And a man by the name of A.W. Tozer was alive at that time, and he wrote a book entitled The Menace of the Religious Movie. And I would like to conclude with his insight. Let's see if I can do this right. There's no sound to this, so. Tozer says both message and methods matter. Both need spiritual sanction. Now, Tozer's rather pithy, so I shouldn't go very fast here. it would be tempting to unpack some of this. I'm not inclined to right now. Religious movies violate the scriptural law of hearing. The foolishness of preaching. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And Tozer says that religious movies violate that principle. Tozer says the religious movie embodies the mischievous notion that religion is or can be made a form of entertainment. I still have a vision in my mind of the gospel blimp. How many of you have ever seen the movie The Gospel Blimp? One of you. Okay. I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. I'm not one bit better because of it. It's just like, well, I was awestruck when I saw it. But as far as the religious teaching, I don't even remember what they were trying to teach. I just remember this blimp being outside somebody's window down on the ground. And I knew blimps didn't belong there. That's all I remember. Okay, so part of what's behind this is that you need to meet people where they are, and if you can entertain them, you can get God's message into them. Does God have anything to say about that? I think he does. And I don't know if I need to go very far there. I think it's, again, the foolishness of preaching, the wisdom of God. The foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men. And we just need to accept that. Say yes, Lord, in Gelassenheit, to what God has to say about that. Tozer says the religious movie is a menace to true religion because it embodies acting, which is a violation of sincerity. In other words, there's a kind of hypocrisy going on. Number five, God has ordained four methods by which truth shall prevail. Prayer, song. Thank you, Brother Shane, for leading the song that you did tonight. Thank you for ministering well to your people Sunday after Sunday with song. Thank you, Shane, for not acting. Thank you for being real. I love to see your authenticity. The third one, the proclamation of the message by words. Thank you, Dwight, for what you said tonight. And D, good works. The truth prevails by good works. Actually doing the things God says we should do. Number six. The religious movie is out of harmony with the whole spirit of the scriptures and contrary to godliness. And I would say amen. It's just that simple. And that's it. Now, since we are finished a little bit early, Number seven, religious movies have a harmful effect upon everyone associated with them. And if you want to read how he develops all that, get a hold of that book. It's just a little thin booklet, not very big. The Menace of the Religious Movie. All right, since I'm finished early, is there anybody who would like to bring a particular question that has not been properly answered to the floor or needs to have anything clarified? Because I'm planning to go home tomorrow and I may not have time to clarify anything further. So, do you have anything you need to ask? Do you have anything that you need to correct that I said that was incorrect? If not, you've been a very good audience. And I remember, I'm not God, but I would ask you to think about the things that I shared with you. God bless you as you continue to think about those things. Thank you.